growing plants before that should be producing squash. I'm getting a lot of flowers, but I'm getting very few fruit. And it's doesn't that usually too much nitrogen? But I did not add anything other than some compost to my garden area before they were planted, and yet that's the result I'm getting from those.
Yeah, well, that sweet meat is an heirloom variety, and a lot of those heirlooms, they'll have one seed will produce the vine, and maybe, if you're lucky, two squash per vine. Most of the time,
really?
It's just one. Yeah, I'm growing that one, actually, and I grow it quite a bit because the flesh is really sweet. Sweet meat. Yeah, it needs sun all day long, not a lot of water. Yours is growing. It's fine. It needs the bees out there to pollinate, make sure all those female flowers get pollinated. But I usually get one squash per plant, and they take up a lot of room. They're very vigorous, so, yeah.
Yeah, we were surprised at how vigorous they grew and how... Yeah, they've kind of covered the garden in one area.
It's and like, how few squashes you get off of one vine. Or two if you're lucky.
Now, do you think, they told us that they plant the squash up there near trellises and they let it climb up a trellis?
Yeah, you could, but I'm always afraid that because those squashes are so big and heavy that they're going to fall off the trellis. So I just let them grow on the ground, and the smaller squashes, you can let them grow up on the trellis.
We really appreciate your call, Luke. Thanks so much.
We got to go.
All right. Well, I appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right. You call us back. Yeah. I want to know about those plants.
Yeah. Okay. And what about that book you're promoting? That really sounds interesting.
Yep. You're entered into the drawing right before 11 o'clock.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Good talking with you, Luke. And the book Luke's talking about, if you're just joining us on Garden Talk, is a brand new book just out, Fruit Trees for Every Garden, by Orrin Martin, 260 pages filled with color photos. Orrin is the manager of the 3-acre Allen Chadwick Garden that's home of 600 fruit trees at the Center for Agroecology and Sustainable Farming at UC Santa Cruz. Also, he's manager of the orchard at USC's Farm and Garden. And for about 40 plus years, he's been teaching classes, lectures, workshops to thousands of apprentices and students and home gardeners and budding farmers. So you're going to like this book a great deal. We'll give away a brand new copy of the book shortly by 11. All you need to do is get in with a question or comment on Garden Talk this morning, 636-1350. Lots of open lines, or you can always shoot us an email to be entered into the drawing, steve@ksro.com.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Brett Musburger. Please join me for play-by-play of every Raiders game on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO, 103.5 and 94.5.
The best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sonoma County.
That's Dr. Walter Tom's staff thanking you, Sonoma County, for voting Dr. Walter Tom, the Press Democrat, best cosmetic surgeon. Why? He listens, he cares, and he and his team are highly skilled in cosmetic procedures.
Thank you to our wonderful patients who voted us, the Press Democrat, best cosmetic surgeon for a third year in a row. We are humbled by your kindness and will continue to strive to achieve the best cosmetic results possible because patient happiness and their self-confidence is our top priority.
The best. Botox, fillers, lasers, hair transplants, smart lipo, tummy tucks, and breast augmentation. A true professional with skills beyond the ordinary. Cosmetic surgeon, Dr. Walter Tom. Contact his office today for a free consultation or visit his website at drwaltertom.com. drwaltertom.com.
We love you, Sonoma County.
Congratulations to Eloisa.
I graduated this June of 2019. I did the specialized degree, associate's degree for medical, so I always was able to get extra help by any of the staff there, teachers. It was really great. That's another thing Empire College is really great with, helping you with employment. They're always helping with resumes. It's also something that has really been helpful.
That could have been you. Thanks to input from Sonoma County's top employers, Empire College has redesigned the most popular programs. Now you can earn your associate's degree in an in-demand field in just 18 months, or add to your existing skills with certifications in just 6 months at Empire College. Now you can get the education you deserve for free. That's right. Complete your degree with a free education from Empire Business College. Apply today at empirefreeeducation.com and make 2019 the year you get what you deserve. EmpireFreeEducation.com. All entries due by September 4th. You deserve Empire College.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The family at Egan and Lance Chapel and Fred Young Funeral Home wish you a fun and safe Labor Day weekend. Egan and Lance Chapel and Fred Young Funeral Home, providing caring, compassionate, and personalized funeral services to Sonoma County since 1924.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. A little preparation will make your family safer in an emergency. A week's worth of food and water, radio, flashlight, batteries, and a first aid kit is a good start. To be prepared and learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's Garden Talk. It is live. It is KSRO. It is Labor Day weekend, and we're glad you stopped by for a few minutes to catch the show. Steve and Gwen is always in the KSRO greenhouse from beautiful Casadero, California. Daniel would like a word with us. Welcome to the show, Daniel. How can we be of help?
Hi. I have a question about corn. I've got this little stand of corn, two rows, and it's Silver Queen is the name. It's a white corn. And it's doing beautifully, but I'm just wondering about these extra sprouts at the bottom of all the stalks have lately started coming out, and they're branching at the base with like 1 and 2 foot shoots coming out of greenery. Should I cut those off or leave them alone? Will it make the corn bigger above? Cut off those sucker shoots on the bottom of the corn stalks.
You can cut off those little suckers at the bottom and then let the main stalk do its job in producing the ears of corn where they're supposed to grow. Uh-oh. They do that. A lot of the varieties, the old heirloom varieties and whatnot, do that. So, yeah, go ahead and cut off those little suckers grown from the ground and enjoy your corn when it's ready to be harvested. You know, wait for the silks to turn brown. And then if you want, you could take a little peek in there. And if you read my garden article in the Press Democrat a couple weeks ago, I was mentioning that, you know, watch for the ear of corn to plump up, the silks to turn brown, and then you can take a peek, like I said, and poke one of the kernels and see if the juice comes out clear or milky, and then have your water boiling or even steam it, and you'll be ready to go. So
yeah, I'm real excited. I've got 150 stalks this year, and they each have like 2 years. I'm going to have 300 ears of corn.
Wow, that's a lot of corn. You should put out a farm stand table out in the street there on the road.
You know, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with them all, because I have two waves. You know, the first wave's flowering, the second wave's not, but they're both Silver Queen. It's a white corn.
Yep.
And so
I know people blanch them and freeze them. Mm-hmm. Then they have corn in the winter.
Yeah, we're going to do something like that, but I'm really excited about it. So those lower shoots I should remove. It's better for the main corn. Okay, that's what I didn't know.
I've done that with my corn, and then it makes easier to walk them between the rows, too. They're not in your way. So,
yeah,
enjoy your corn. Good for you.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the info. I shall go out and cut those off now.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks, Daniel. How much corn did he have?
150 plants, so each stalk has about 2 ears. So he said about 300 ears of corn. Oh, I should have gotten his address.
Well, you grow Silver Queen too, don't you?
No. I grow Bodacious and Luscious. And I'm growing this corn nuts variety called Hickory King for my friend Tom, so he can process and make corn nuts. That That corn variety is at least 14, if not 15 feet
tall.
The
Silver Queen is?
No, I don't have Silver Queen.
Oh, you don't?
No, the Hickory King.
Oh, the Hickory King. That's going to be corn
variety.
Nut.
At least 15 feet tall. And the ears of corn are way up like 9 or 10 feet up in the tree. And the stalks.
When are they going to be ready?
When the silks turn brown and the whole plant starts to turn brown and the ears are dried out, the kernels start to dry out, and that's Tom's thing. So,
from Santa Rosa, AJ, nice to hear from you this morning. What can we do for you on Garden Talk? Hi, AJ.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
I am calling about that gooey fungus on fruit trees, you know, like apricots, peaches, or nectarines. I forget the name of it. But what can I do about it? Because I noticed it's on some young trees that I have in buckets already.
Oh, well, that's a sign that the tree is stressed in some way, or maybe some areas on the trunk have gotten damaged in some way, or they got a little sunburned. And so it's called gummosis, where the tree's response to this injury or damage or whatnot, it starts to send out all this gummy-looking globby stuff. If it's on the clear side or light amber-looking side, then... okay, some varieties do that more than others, but if it's a dark color, then that's not so good. You have to make sure you water your trees adequately and, effectively, efficiently, put mulch around the base of the tree so the water stays in the soil for a longer time, and you need to give your trees a good deep watering and infrequently, and none of this little drip, drip, drip every other day, and you're only watering like 2 inches deep. So do you see any damage on the trunks or in the nooks and crannies of the tree?
Well, no. The one I'm concerned about at the moment, and just surprised it has it already, is in a bucket. And I would agree. It's stressed for more water because I've been inconsistent about it. I can see that. But I have other ones that have been in the ground for, a few years. And this year... you know, like the apricot gets it really bad.
Yeah.
It's like, and it gets a lot of water, especially where I live, because I live in the near Ronner Park in between there. So it's cool, here.
Okay, but you said you give it a lot of water. It might not want a lot of water, and so...
yeah, well, I can't help that because it floods out here.
Oh, okay, and that's what that...
she's in the floodplain.
Yeah, so that's what the apricots don't like. So, it just might be a matter of time before those trees go, or, if you can divert the water someplace so it's not sitting in water over winter, that'll help the tree. But, rub the stuff off.
Just rub it off. Okay, I could kind of pick it off a little bit.
Yeah.
But can I cut out, because these are on... grafted trees that I've done. Can I cut out the apricot portion and just maybe keep the peach side of things?
Oh, so they're grafted. It's a grafted tree with peaches and apricots?
Some of them are. And I'm willing to, they're experimental.
Sure, you could do that. But if you don't change the conditions, peach is going to be affected as well. So they need a good soil, good, enough water and... did you ever paint the trunk with water-based paint and water, so to prevent sun burning?
I never got around to it, and so I am going to be better about that this year. Can you paint at any time? It doesn't matter. I'm always like waiting for the right time. Is it just best just to do it no matter what?
Well, if you have an issue, if there's some splitting or oozing or anything, you don't want to cover it up with the paint and the water, because then you're just... So you're going to have to paint.
I was going to use that stuff. I got it from Harmony Farms. I don't have it in front of me. It is. It has, I think, clove in it. Clove.
And that's not going to do anything.
It's not like a latex. It's not a latex paint. It's a tree paint. It's a fruit tree paint.
Somebody just came up with a marketing idea of getting paint. So you buy something else instead of just mixing up your own. That'll be fine. Whatever you bought, follow the directions and, do it in the evening. But if you have any bug holes or diseases or anything going on, you don't want to cover them up with that paint. So, you know, at this point, how long have the trees been, how long have you had these trees?
Maybe 3-4 years, you know.
Okay.
Not really.
Okay. I wouldn't do
them. This year.
Don't paint the trees because they're already accustomed to the sun. Okay. They're not get the okay. only way they're going to be getting sunburn is if they're not getting enough water and the trunk on the southwest part of the trees are getting sunburned because there's not enough water in the root system. So you got to change your watering. Right. That's it. So don't put a band-aid on by painting it.
Okay. Now, I think the watering is probably okay for the trees in the ground, but they could use mulch and a bit more of that. Okay. So let me work on those items this season and see how it goes for
now. Yeah. Let us know. And the tree that's in a pot, if you can get a bigger container and submerge the whole root ball, and you'll see all these air bubbles popping out. As soon as it stops making bubbles, then you know that entire root ball is soaking wet.
Yeah. Now I've been trying to water them more lately. I want to get them in the ground. That's where they need to be.
All right.
So I was just throwing
it. Wait until fall to plant them. Don't do it now.
Yeah.
All right, AJ.
Totally.
Call us back and let me know. Let me know how it's going.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
We will take a break. We will come back. We'll take a couple email questions and go back to calls. We just cleared the line at 636-1350. Love to hear from you this morning. And we'll do the best. We always get through all our calls. We're good about that. Join us on the Good Food Hour right after Garden Talk with Chef John Ash as we move from the greenhouse over to the kitchen. We'll be welcoming John Smith, a name you may not know. Well, John was the winner of the 38th annual Gravenstein Apple Pie Contest a couple weeks ago. John Ash was one of the judges, and John Smith is one of the few guys that have won the pie contest over 38 years. I can count on my one hand how many guys have won the Gravenstein Pie Festival. I've been a judge for 19 years. John took over this year, and it's exciting. And John Smith is exciting to talk to us from San Francisco this morning. Then we will chat with Janet Fletcher. Janet writes the popular cheese blog called Planet Cheese, and there's some very disturbing news about one of John Ash's favorite cheese producers. Looks like he's going to stop producing cheese. We'll find out why. And then joining us live in the studio, Jesse Frost, the new owner of Nightingale Breads in Forestville, and she is cranking out some spectacular breads. She'll talk to us about her journey to the world of great bread making. Live in the studio. That's all on the Good Food Hour from 11 until noon.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at A Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. Our team once again has won first place at the Sonoma County Fair's Hall of Flowers. That makes it 15 years in a row. We have a bunch of beautiful award-winning azaleas left from the Sonoma County Fair, and we're offering them to the public. $15 each or two for $25 for a limited time while supplies last. The produce stand is open. We have heirloom tomatoes, including Cherokee Purple, Green Zebra, San Marzano, and Violet Jasper Cherries.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. Open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market in Sonoma County. You'll enjoy exploring all they have to offer. This summer's market is exploding with all its local bounty. Berries and fruit, summer squash, onions, and vine-ripe tomatoes. Get your vegetable starts and advice from Master Gardeners at the Saturday Market. When it comes to choosing meat, discover the quality of local beef, pork, lamb, and freshly made sausages. Award-winning vendors and artisans offering everything from baked goods, olive oil, fermented foods, spices, and chocolate to hand-painted silk pieces. Enjoy a fruit smoothie, breakfast, or lunch from the variety of food vendors. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. Open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Sunny skies for your Labor Day weekend, high 89 today, 73 along the coast. Mostly clear skies tonight, low 56 inland and on the shores. Blue skies for Sunday at 87, 70 in Bodega Bay. Very similar for Monday as well. Tuesday, though, a few clouds. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Garden Talk, no one on hold at this moment. You could get in and chat with Gwen Kilcher at 636-1350 with a question or comment, or you can always shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com, with a question or comment. And if you do, we'll enter your name into the drawing for the brand new book just out, Fruit Trees for Every Garden by Orrin Martin, who's just a legend in the world of fruit tree growing, managing the 3-acre Alan Chadwick Garden at UC Santa Cruz, and also has been manager of the orchard out there since 1977, has taught thousands of students. And this is a very comprehensive, very encyclopedic look, but geared to the home gardener, wouldn't you say, Gwen?
Oh, yeah.
About planting and maintaining fruit trees and doing it all organically.
It's an informative book, for sure.
636-1350. So I just emailed Gwen a photo, even though she's 6 feet away from me. And it was taken in my backyard, and it was of a camellia tree. And I, for some reason, have never noticed the size of what I call them, like camellia hips. They look like rose hips, but they almost look like a Gravenstein apple. If you didn't know better, you think it was a fruit coming from this camellia. And I don't know why I've never noticed how big these get. They look almost like a small pear, almost like a little red-skinned pear. Is that unusual? Will they continue to get that huge? And you don't call them hips, though, do you?
No, those are seed pods.
Seed pods.
Because the flower somehow got pollinated and it decided to turn into a seed pod.
Oh.
You'll see that some varieties do that more often than, a lot more than other varieties do. This is the first year that you've seen this?
Yes.
Or you,
yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How funny. And
you said they develop every year?
Some of mine have them all the time. There's a variety called Taylor's Perfection that I have. It's a nice single pink-flowered winter, early spring bloomer, and it's always covered with those things.
Maybe.
And I always thought because the camellias are stressed that they're producing these seed pods to reproduce because they're going to die. But no, it just lives on every year and it does fine. So
if they fall to the ground, they're not going to sprout a new camellia.
You know, there was one lady who called us years ago that had a couple sprouts
volunteers,
coming out of the ground. And I was like, no way. But for some reason, the conditions were right. Everything was perfect. And these, you know, camellia seed pods disintegrated away. And then up came two little shoots from two different pods.
Well, so that's different because if a rose hip falls off a rose, it's not going to, there's not going to be a new rose,
right,
is there?
Right.
So these are different. These are actually seed pods from the camellia.
Yeah. And no, they normally don't come up with, they don't pop up new camellias because, like I said, the conditions have to be so right and this and that. It's they don't do that. But in this lady's yard, for some reason, it did. So don't even cut them off. Don't do anything. They'll eventually, that's as big as they're going to get. And then they're going to start to turn brown. And then by next spring, they'll fall off and that's it.
Well, thank you for that answer. Good morning, Steve and Gwen. I have a table grapevine in my arbor that I would like identified. I started from a cutting from my brother, and he got it from a grower here in Santa Rosa several years ago. It's tasty with a green center. I make pies with them that hold up their shape. It's not loaded this year, and I can bring a sample if you need to identify. Thanks for your help. And this is from Artie, and we're looking at this. And boy, by looking at a photo of this grape, it seems almost impossible to identify it from that. There's so many varieties of grapes.
Well, it's a purple grape. She didn't mention that it was purple. So you cut it open and it's green, which all the purple grapes, table grapes, are green inside, from what I remember. It's a little bit oblong, looking, so it's not a roundish looking grape. And she didn't say whether it has seeds in it or not. And I wish I knew who the grower was that her brother got it from. Was it like a nursery?
Was it a grape grower?
Yeah, I'm probably a grape grower,
but homegrower, that someone planted some table grapes or a home grower. That would be good to have more information.
Yeah, who that grower is. But to make a long story short, I have no idea what that one is. I would have guessed it was Concord, but they're not oblong looking like that. They're round. So I'm going to take a photo of this and your information, Arnie, and ask my grape-growing friend who knows a lot about a lot of different varieties.
And who's grown grapes for years and might have an answer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and then get back to you next week and hopefully solve this mystery grape.
Okay, thanks for the photo, Artie. Sorry we can't identify that. Now, here's an oddball question, Gwen. This is an oddball one.
Yes.
Hi, Steve and Gwen. We have a mulberry that's grafted onto a peach trunk. What are some tips on how to prune this? Have you ever heard of this? What sounds like a rare fruit grower experiment?
Yeah. A mulberry on a peach. I didn't think that was possible because I don't even know if they're in the same family or... Wow. Well, he or she has it. So pruning. Tips to prune. Well, you would prune it in the wintertime after all the mulberry leaves have fallen off. There's not a lot of pruning to do. Especially if this is a fruiting mulberry, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Any branches that are growing in the wrong direction, you know, crisscrossing branches, you know, balance it out maybe. If you have a few shoots that are growing off to one side and not much on the other side, you can cut back a little bit. But there's not a lot of pruning that you have to do on fruiting mulberry trees. So, you know, they're not as vigorous growers as the fruitless mulberry tree that you see people that pollard those things and cut them all the way back to stubs. So that's really interesting. I got to look that up if he truly has a mulberry grafted onto a peach.
And if this emailer is listening, we'd love to see a photo of this, what it looks like. It'd be interesting if there's what the leaves look like. And
did he or she get any fruit mulberries off of this?
Yeah, we'd love more information.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So if you're listening, shoot us another email with some more background information on, did you actually graft this? Did anybody assist you? Are you a rare fruit grower? Well, if you are, you probably wouldn't be calling us or emailing us, but it sure would be interesting to have a little more information about that.
Yeah. Okay. Good for them.
Let's see, 636-1350 if you want to reach us. It's as simple as that. And if you do reach us with a question or comment via email or a phone, we will enter your name into the drawing for Fruit Trees for Every Garden, brand new by Orrin Martin, an organic approach to growing apples, pears, peaches, plums, citrus, and many more. Brand new, just out. 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com.
Sonoma County's FM News Talk at 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO, depend on it.
Canna Help You is a cannabis talk show brought to you by Mercy Wellness, a successful cannabis retailer. Tune in on the second and fourth Fridays of each month from noon to 12:30 to hear stories from the cannabis frontier of legal, safe consumption. Enjoy yourself with Can I Help You on the second and fourth Fridays of the month right here on KSRO.
Before going to Azure Acres, I was in a very miserable state. I thought that no one could help me. I have struggled with addiction for over 10 years. In 2014, I lost my son in a tragic accident, and my life spiraled out of control. I was either going to kill myself or save my life. And I chose to live. I talked to Azure Acres, and the staff was absolutely amazing. The counselors gave me life-saving tools and set me up for success after I left. I'm forever grateful.
Our alumni say it all. Join us in celebrating our 60th anniversary at Azure Acres on August 31st in beautiful, serene Sebastopol. Learn more about Azure Acres and mingle with the staff and alumni. Go to azureacres.com today or call 877-978-3280. That's azureacres.com or call 877-978-3280. Help us celebrate 60 years of success in drug and alcohol treatment on August 31st.
If you want to get super strong, super fast, go super slow,
at Inform Fitness Personal Training Studio in Rohnert Park.
Increase your energy levels, muscle tone, and lean muscle mass with their 20-minute once or twice per week workout.
This is Kathy Slack from the Pointless Sisters Band. I've been working out with Cindy and Denise for almost a year, and I've gained strength in my abs, legs, and arms, and I'm losing weight.
Summer special. Buy 2 months, get the third free. No contracts. Inform Fitness Rohnert Park. Call 707-385-9860.
It's Paradise.
Paradise Pet Resorts welcomes your furry family members to go to paradise for the day. Try doggy daycare. It helps your dog socialize, learn dog etiquette, and get exercise. There's all-day supervised pup play, indoor and outdoor yards, and webcams so you can check on them from anywhere. Nobody loves your pets like you do, but nobody cares for your pets like they do at Paradise Pet Resorts.
It's Paradise.
It's Garden Talk. It's live. It's KSRO. Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher Saturday morning. It's a happy habit, and I'm glad that you've developed joining us in the greenhouse every Saturday morning. A caller last hour, it was, I believe, Barbara, who was our first caller of the morning about shrub replacement, asked about the upcoming Sonoma Ready Day Emergency Preparedness Fair, which is coming up Sunday, September 8th from 10 to 3 at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. You might want to attend that. There'll be over 60 organizations that have booths, and there's a robust speaker series. Barbara had asked whether there's going to be anything about landscaping and information. Sonoma Master Gardeners will be there. They're going to have a booth.
Okay.
But there's nothing specific that I could see in the expanded program as far as speakers who will specifically address fireproofing landscaping. And you mentioned, Gwen, off the air that actually there's a great resource through the Sonoma County Master Gardeners website that deals in great detail about fireproofing your landscape, suggesting setbacks. And every plant can burn. We all know this eventually, but some that are higher in volatile oils than other ones, and good, better, best, and worse suggestions as far as landscaping. But I think that's the best resource is probably to go online to Sonoma Master Gardeners.
Yes.
Wouldn't you?
Yes,
I
agree.
So there's your answer for that, Barbara. And again, encouraging listeners to put that on their calendar, Sonoma Ready Day, which is Sunday, September 8th from 10 until 3 o'clock. There'll be emergency resources, activities for kids. There's also food trucks. And there's lectures and presentations by first responders and community leaders and health and wellness professionals. So it's well worth your time.
Where is this?
It's at the fairgrounds, Sonoma County Fairgrounds, starting if I didn't mention that. You mentioned, now you brought in some beautiful cucumbers for me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What kind of cucumbers are those?
I knew you were going to ask.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know one of them is straight eight.
All right.
That's an old heirloom, and I was growing that since I was a kid. And that's just one that I keep growing. It's a good slicing cucumber.
You mean back in Long Island you were growing that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
a lot of varieties that I grew when I was younger, I still grow because they did well. So why not? Why, you know, yes, I change things. I add things along the way, and then I delete some as they're not as good.
But straight eights have been reliable.
Yes.
All right.
That's a nice size slicing cucumber.
And how many varieties of cucumbers did you plant this year?
I think about six or so.
And how are they all doing?
Well, they were doing fine. The Armenian cucumbers, I have two different varieties. Those are doing fine. Unfortunately, the straight eight and those smaller cucumbers that I got, I think it's Delicatasse, D-E-L-I-C-A-S-S-E, something like that. That's a nice salad cucumber. That's really good. That's another one there. But these heirloom varieties that I've been having a problem with the tomatoes. Yeah. Well, now these cucumbers, they have this, the leaves are turning yellow and they have these brown spots on them. And they're interesting. If you look really close, they're angular looking. So it's actually a disease. because I was out there overhead watering a lot, which the bacteria is out there somewhere and it affects the plants and then they start dying a slow death. So I was looking at these yesterday and going, okay, you know, before this disease really takes hold and then it overwinters next year and then I can't plant cucumbers there again, I just started pulling up all my plants and I harvested the cucumbers, no matter what size they were. And yeah, this is the first year I've ever had this problem.
So and you think it's because of overhead watering?
Well, that's usually how a lot of diseases are spread. And, you know, I had some irrigation line issues with, you know, little shooting sprays of water here and there from the voles chewing on the line. So, you know, it did get, you know, some overhead watered. But, yeah, I never had this problem before. And I looked at it and I went, no, can't be.
So it's the end of cucumber season for you at the household.
Yeah, except for the Armenian cucumbers. They are not affected by this. And you know why? I think because the Armenian cucumbers are actually a melon. They are an Asian melon. They are not a cucumber.
Different family, huh?
Yeah. And that's why my son is able to grow them out in Las Vegas. His cucumbers are dying as soon as it hits 105 degrees. And the Armenian cucumbers are loving it.
So
because they're not a cucumber.
For hot, dry climates, desert-style climates, Armenian cucumbers can make it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're delicious, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you pick them when they're young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't let them get too old because then, you know, they have fine hair on them. And then the seeds get too big and then you have more seeds. And then they also tend to hollow out inside, too. So when you pick them at that right moment, you can eat them skin and all.
Oh, there you go. Your cucumber primer from Gwen. And better luck next year with those other varieties.
Yeah, so I don't know if I'll grow these varieties again or not, but... I will definitely plant them someplace else in the garden.
Our final break for the hour coming up now. That means we'll have about 6 minutes, 7 minutes for you to get in with a question or comment for Gwen at 636-1350 or Steve at ksro.com.
And can I talk about the war on the weeds with the vinegar?
I would love for you to talk about the war on the weeds with the vinegar when we come back.
Okay.
So if you get in with a question or comment during the next 6-7 minutes, we'll enter your name into the drawing for the brand new beautiful book, Fruit Trees for Every Garden, by the amazing, and truly this guy is amazing, he's historical, Orrin Martin, the head of the UC Santa Cruz Fruit Tree Experimental Gardens for some 30, 40 years.
Bennett Valley hears KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Overlooking the water with gorgeous views of the bay, the Bayview Restaurant at the End of the Tides has hosted a monthly winemaker dinner series featuring the finest local wineries and winemakers for over 30 years.
Friday, September 27th, join Kate McMurray of McMurray Estate Vineyards for a four-course winemaker dinner. Start with burrata served with grilled peach, Parma prosciutto, and micro basil, paired with the 2017 Pinot Gris estate-grown Russian River Valley. Then seared local salmon atop golden pepper risotto, along with the 2016 Chardonnay estate-grown. Enjoy McMurray 2016 estate-grown Pinot Noir, paired with grilled filet mignon with basil béarnaise, potato mash, and green beans. And finish with a flourless chocolate torte, hazelnut butter, and amarena cherry, accented by the 2016 Pinot Noir Estate Reserve.
Go to inatthetides.com and click on Winemaker Dinner Series for more info.
On April 23rd of 2020, we'll leave San Francisco for 8 days under the Tuscan sun. KSRO and TravelWise invite you along for the ride. Amazing Tuscany with Pat Carrigan. You'll be staying at a stunning hotel in Monte Catini Terme, nestled in the heart of the rolling hills of Tuscany. Unpack once and you're done. Colette Tours will lead the way to Florence, the cradle of the Italian Renaissance. The artwork, including Michelangelo's David, the piazzas. We'll also adventure to Lucca with its medieval streets flanked by towers, Pisa with its unforgettable leaning tower, and so much more, and Siena, where we'll learn to cook traditional Tuscan dishes. Many other adventures, too, with the help of local guides who know the area. Come with us. Visit KSRO at TravelWise.net or call 707-935-WISE. That's WISE with a Z.
Join Pat Carrigan on the amazing Tuscany trip. You and Pat can check this off your bucket list, and you must get a picture with Pat in front of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Go to ksro.com for more info. Ciao.
Employers, as you know, finding qualified employees these days can be difficult. Yet it may surprise you that hundreds of job seekers are anxious to hear about your company. Over 50 employers joined the North Bay Job Fair in May and experienced remarkable results. We're currently seeking businesses to join the next North Bay Job Fair on September 18th at the Grayton Casino and Resort. For the enticing details, visit northbayjobfair.com and search under events. It's our job to help you find the perfect candidate.
Ready for yoga class?
I'm dragging today. I just haven't been eating great lately.
You should try a GNC multivitamin.
Aren't those expensive?
No, they're only $9.99. GNC One Daily Multis are scientifically formulated and quality checked. It's why they're the most trusted nutritional supplement brand in the world.
And only $9.99?
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back.
With wellness that affordable, I could spend more money on yoga pants.
Stop into GNC or visit gnc.com/multis to get the highest quality wellness essentials like Women's Ultra Mega or Mega Man One Daily Multivitamins for only $9.99.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Have time to squeeze in a final Garden Talk question this morning before we give away the book. And let's do eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I think the honors are going to Elaine, calling from Sebastopol this morning. Elaine, what can we do for you on Garden Talk? Hi.
Hi. I have a black mish that I transferred from a pot to the ground this year, and I went out one morning, and the tree was flat on the ground, and this is like a 10-foot tree, and at least 6 to 8 inches of the bark was eaten away like a beaver eats a tree. What could it be?
On your black mission fig tree, huh?
How wide is the diameter on that tree?
The tree was probably maybe 1.5, 2 inches.
And one side of the trunk is chewed up?
No, the whole, all the way around the trunk.
All the way around the trunk.
Just like you'd see a beaver on a cartoon eating a tree, you know, how they take the tree down, or somebody cuts a tree down.
How high from the ground?
It went 6 to 8 inches from the ground level up.
It's chewed.
I have pictures of it, but I can't send it to you from here right now.
Okay, so from the ground up, 6 to 8 inches, mm-hmm. all the way around the trunk.
All the way around the trunk. What kind of an animal can do that?
Can you look closely, get down on your hands and knees, and look closely for teeth marks? You'll see scrapings if it's a gopher. I mean, you'll see those two front teeth. I mean, how they gnawed into the tree, and they gnawed into the tree. That would be a gopher that had a heyday on that tree. Or if it's just the bark that's taken off, and you still see teeth marks, just like scrapings, I'm going to say a rat. Or more than one rat.
It's not just the bark. It wasn't just the bark. It was a lot of the tree. So, I mean, it really skinnied down what was on that tree.
Okay. My guess would be a gopher. You know, and that probably didn't happen. It probably didn't happen overnight. You just didn't see it. And then after the tree fell over, I think that gopher. Do you have gophers out there?
Oh, hundreds.
Oh, yeah, because you're in Sebastopol. Yeah. Boy, that would have been a good opportunity to get that camera, that game camera, where it takes, you know, that motion sensor thing, and get a little video of what was going on. Too bad, though. But, boy, if you see some teeth marks on that tree, like scrapings, my money is on a gopher.
Do we have woodchucks? My neighbor thought it might be a woodchuck.
Yeah, it could be a woodchuck. Wood. Woodchuck, Chuck's wood.
Right.
Well, it's too late for the tree now, but anytime you plant, or you got the root system still in the ground?
Oh, it's gone. The roots are in the ground, but the tree is gone. I've already cut it up and gotten rid of it.
Yeah, but leave the root system. Leave the root system.
Oh,
see what shoots up from the roots.
Well, we had a little baby tree growing right there, and the next day that little baby tree was gone.
Oh. You have deer?
Oh, sure.
Oh, boy. We ran out of time, Elaine, but next time you plant a tree, put some window screen around it, metal window screening, and go for baskets and get a camera and see what you can see. Sorry to hear about that, but I would think a gopher.
Okay, so bad news, or a woodchuck is what you
woodchuck.
Said.
Woodchuck, yeah, the woodchuck.
So we want to give away this brand new book. So we had how many calls did we have this morning?
We had 9.
Okay, so you've already randomly assorted the calls.
Yep.
So I'm going to ask John Ash, shout out your favorite number, John Ash, from 1 to 9. 4, caller number 4 says John Ash.
Number
who's the winner?
4 is actually now number 1, who's Barbara.
Barbara, you have won the brand new copy of Fruit Trees for Every Occasion by Orrin Martin from the UC Santa Cruz Agroecology Sustainable Farming System. He's been the farm manager of the orchard for some 40-plus years. It's a remarkable new book. You can pick that up at your leisure here at KSRO, Monday through Friday from 8:30 until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Congratulations. Gwen, we will see you next week in September.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Well, fall's going to be here before you know it.
Right around the corner. Thanks so much for a splendid couple hours.
Thank you, Steve.
Move from the greenhouse over to the KSRO kitchen, Chef John Ash and I have a wonderful assortment of guests for you on the Good Food Hour, and I hope you'll be able to continue to listen. Back after the news, this is KSRO Santa Rosa, California.
On Crystal Clear FM at 103.5 and 94.5, Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO Santa Rosa.
News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Hurricane Dorian taking shape and now projected to rake the eastern seaboard, possibly making landfall in South Carolina or Georgia. Florida still impacted, but not likely to take a direct hit for now. Dorian remains a Category 4 storm, but isn't far off from becoming a Category 5. ABC's Pete Combs is in Delray Beach, Florida.
Most of Miami-Dade is now out of the direct path of the storm. But for Mayor Carlos Jimenez, that's no reason to celebrate.
Still way too early to let our guard down.
That unexpected big right turn now means it's unlikely Dorian will make a direct assault on the Florida coast. But Florida's good news could spell disaster for parts of Georgia, North and South Carolina. They have declared emergencies, putting people and assets where they need to be to respond to the storm. Pete Combs, ABC News, Delray Beach, Florida.
Right now, Hurricane Dorian expected to skirt the Bahamas by Sunday night. ABC's Marcus Moore is there with more.
They are on high alert here in this part of the Bahamas where they're preparing for a possible direct hit. And we could begin to feel the effects of Dorian in the next few hours. In fact, they'll be shutting down the airport later today and a number of the businesses that have been open over concern for this storm.
Federal investigators say they're looking into the deaths of as many as 11 veterans at a VA hospital in Clarksburg, West Virginia, including 82-year-old Felix McDermott, a Vietnam vet. More from ABC News Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
Last year, authorities say someone at the hospital injected McDermott with insulin, even though he was not diabetic, and it killed him. The medical examiner flatly saying the manner of death is homicide after being administered by an assailant. His family has filed a wrongful death claim, alleging the other patients were also injected with insulin they did not need.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. You're listening to ABC News.
Would you take $100 and throw 80 of it away? If you're taking drugstore vitamin tablets, that's exactly what you're doing, because 80% of those tablets are not being absorbed. Hi, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, creator of Texas Superfood. Many of you take Texas Superfood daily and feel great. But some people tell us they just don't like the taste of green powder or they have a problem swallowing capsules. That's why we created our new line of great-tasting liquid supplements. Go to texassuperfood.com/liquid. From multivitamins to products for energy, sleep, joint care, and more, our liquid supplements offer the highest absorption rates available anywhere, up to 96%. Imagine waking up after a great night's sleep feeling rested and ready to handle the day with endless energy and clarity. Stop wasting your money on drugstore vitamin tablets that don't work. Get absorbable liquid nutrition from the name you trust, Texas Superfood. Visit texassuperfood.com/liquid to get 20% off. Go to texassuperfood.com/liquid. Go to texassuperfood.com/liquid now.
More pro-democracy protests today in Hong Kong, escalating, that despite a police ban against marching. ABC News senior foreign correspondent Ian Pannell is in the streets.
We now have this long line of riot police coming towards us. We've got a black flag saying, warning, tear gas. We've had thousands and thousands of protests.